This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. Excuse me. Allergy season here. I'm not suffering from that because I'm not bringing that into my story, but sometimes I feel a little grumble here. Anyway, one of my favorite books of all time is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. That book has stayed with me for, I'd say about 10 years or so, maybe longer. Last year, I was introduced to another amazing book that I have shared with many people, including my children, The Mastery of Self by Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. That book is a Toltec guide to personal freedom. Both father and son live the Toltec life. And father and son, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., has recently come out with an amazing gem, another one of those that I'm sure I will refer everybody to. It's titled Don Miguel Ruiz's Little Book of Wisdom, The Essential Teachings. And Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., I think I'm saying that wrong again, it's Ruiz, compiled this based upon his own experiences growing up with the teachings of his father and his family, and various audios and lectures and workshops along the way. As I started reading this particular new work, I found myself having to stop and really allow the passages and my own experiences to come out and sit with them and kind of see where they would take me and how I could grow personally from the wisdom that was in the chapters. Today, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. is going to chat with us about that. So welcome to Soulful Living.
Hi, Terry. How are you doing? Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I really do refer yours and your father's work often. In fact, I sent one of my kids a picture of your book, The Mastery of Self, a few weeks ago and said, you really need to do this. You need to look at it and allow the wisdom to sit in your life. And I know that I'll be sharing the little book of wisdom with them as well. So thank you for pulling it together.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you. I'm so glad it's been going to be used in that way. It's beautiful. That's the essence of our tradition, of the oral tradition. We share the knowledge we've learned to the next generation, and we tell it through stories, through experiences, and that's a beautiful element. So I'm grateful to be a part of that, of your oral tradition with your children. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And it must have been quite an interesting journey for you and your brother as well to really follow this life work and decide to step into it. And then, I mean, hearing the stories of your father and sharing them along the way from a different perspective that we as a reader saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's growing up with my family, it's a wonderful opportunity because I'm alive. They're my family. I love them. You know, I got to experience them. And as being the eldest son of Don Miguel Ruiz, I can say that I was raised by different stages of his life. You know, I remember Dr. Miguel Ruiz when he was a medical doctor and became a neurosurgeon, almost became a neurosurgeon. And then he had a moment of an aha moment. He became an apprentice to my grandmother, who really is the spiritual figure of our family. You know, people say that I'm walking in my father's footsteps, but in reality, him and myself and my brother, we're all walking in my grandmother's footsteps because she's the one who had the dream to share the tradition with everyone. Mm-hmm. So there's the element of Don Miguel Ruiz being the apprentice and then becoming the shaman, then becoming Don Miguel Ruiz, the person he is now. And you get to see the evolution of a man who did his work, his own journey. From that point of view, it's an awesome opportunity to witness and to reflect upon my own life. But at the same time, he's my papa, and I get to enjoy him. So it's been a wonderful opportunity. It's been a fun, interesting ride.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. You know, two of the things that I really wanted to kind of delve into were that aha moment that your father had when he shifted from traditional medical practice to where he is now.
Uh-huh. Well, you can say that, you know, Dr. Miguel Ruiz, he lived in this late 70s and early 80s, and he was very much a by-the-book man, Western medicine, and straight A's that requested of me and all that kind of thing. And then somewhere in the late 70s, he had an accident. You know, he was still getting his doctorate. You know, he was in the later stages. He was about to finish and all that. Then he had an accident coming back from a party from Cuernavaca back to Mexico City, where he lost consciousness on the wheel and crashed. And he had a vision or whatever it was that he saw himself leave his body, take everyone out of the car, and the impact. So basically everyone was safe except for him. He took the hit. So when he woke up, you know, the nurse scared him, saying that they all were died, and he had that shock. And he says, no, they're all alive. But he recovered, but he could never get over that experience, because to him was something that he never truly understood. You know, his grandfather, Don Leonardo, he was also a practitioner of our tradition, or a shaman, you can say. We call him Nahual. And his great-grandfather, Don Ezequiel, he've learned the stories, he heard the lessons from them. And, you know, like myself with my grandma, when I was a young man, or actually a teenager or a preteen, I listened to the stories, but because I love my grandmother. I love what she had to say, so I listened. But what do these stories have to do with my life? You know, they belong in a museum. They belong in a textbook. That's how it felt. You know, as a teenager, that's how it feels. So my father had the same thing. What does that have to do with my life? And we all rebel in our tradition in a unique way. My dad rebelled with Western medicine and science and all that kind of thing. And then he had something he couldn't explain. And he went to the people he trusted, which was his grandfather and his mom, Madre Sarita. And they started teaching him in that way. So he continued with his studies. He graduated from medical school. He became a doctor. He studied in Sonora doing his social service. All doctors go through that. They go through their social service stages in their practicum. And in Sonora, he had another apprentice, a friend of his grandfather, who was teaching him. And according to the story, of course. And he continued to delve into the spiritual side of things. And eventually, he made the decision that he realized that as a doctor, he was always in a conveyor belt. He was in a treadmill, always dealing with symptoms, but never getting to the root cause. Mm-hmm. And little by little, he decided to let go of the medical field and be an apprentice to the tradition in a full way. So when he did that, you know, him and my mom divorced from that. Imagine that, two kids with a third one on the way, and your husband says, I am not going to be a doctor, I'm going to be that. So
right, I'm going to give up that and struggle now.
Yeah, you can imagine that conversation. So mm-hmm. There's a separation. Later on, they remarried. You know, they're still together, but not romantically, but as friends. And the thing is that my father came into the tradition, followed, you know, my grandmother's rigorous training. And when he got into it, he saw that there was a lot of beautiful traditions in it, but a lot of the thing that might have turned him away before, a lot of the woo-woo stuff, a lot of the superstition was there. So he began to clean it up. He began to translate the lessons into a language we can all understand, which is, you can say, common sense. That's what my father would call it. He translated the tradition into a language he calls common sense, a language that we can all understand, because if he taught it the way it was, and when he first started, I remember when he first started in 1986, he taught it as it was taught to him. And, you know, there was a lot of superstition around him, a lot of fanaticism around him, and he decided to clean it up. He knew that fanaticism distorts and corrupts everything. So he began to clean it up. He took out a lot of the symbols, but retained the meaning, the lessons, the teachings. So you can say that combining Western medicine or Western science with the old ancient tradition, the Nahuatl traditions, the spiritual side of things, created a language that we can understand, and that's where the Four Agreements comes in. Now, there's two books that accentuate this transition, a book called Beyond Fear, which is also celebrating its 20th year anniversary this year, and the Four Agreements, which is a 20-year anniversary as well. The Beyond Fear was written by Mary Carol Nelson and writes about the way my father taught with shamanism and that kind of language, what, you know, some would call woo-woo. Mm-hmm. and then you have the Four Agreements, where the only woo-woo stuff in it, to my point of view, of course, is the introduction, the story of the smoky mirror, which is an old Toltec story.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the book is written in a language that we can all understand. Don't take things personally. Don't make assumptions. Always do your best and be impeccable with the word. You know, essence of our tradition, put in a language that we can understand, and because of that, is reverberated across the world because of that.
Well, as a shamanic practitioner myself, when I share, like sharing your work, right, and sharing your mm-hmm. father's work, my kids look at me that way. I have five adult children, and they look at me like, oh, that's, you know, mom's kind of woo-woo, mom's kind of out there. And it's really important for me to give them those pieces of information that they can incorporate into their lives that don't seem so woo-woo. You know, it's like practical wisdom, but yet it has ancient teachings. And that's really one of the things that I love about the work of you and your family. It helps hold on to those old traditions, but yet puts it in a way that anybody can understand. It's not religion. It's a way of life that will enhance your life beyond your wildest dreams.
And the thing about it is that the key to all of it is, because when we use certain symbols, you know, in mythology or tradition, and because if we were to teach it the way the elders taught it, it reflects a time that's no longer here. You know, even though the symbols are present, it no longer reflects our time and day. It might have been sound modern to the day when they taught it,
right?
But to us, it doesn't. So, in order for it to be relevant in our life, for life to continue to teach us, because that's the key, is to put in a language we can see the world in. And that's the beauty of it. You know, we allow the tradition to evolve. The Toltec probably wouldn't continue using the symbology they used over 500 years in the same way Parisians don't continue to do the art they did 500 or even 3,000 years ago. It changed. The Parisians are not even using the same art they used 100 years ago.
Right.
So we don't know in which way it would have evolved because of time and history and all that. But the thing that I've learned, the essence of what I've learned of what my father teaching, my grandmother teaching, is that every generation does it in their own unique way. If we hold on to the past and use those old symbols, then we're teaching something that is history. It's beautiful, mind you. It's beautiful, but it's going to take a while for it to seem relevant in our lives. And that's my experience with it. But then when we process it, we engage it, we see it reflected in our relationships, then it becomes something practical in our life. And for that, you can go to a concert and have a wonderful spiritual experience. You can go in the middle of Manhattan and feel life flow through you in the same way that the feeling of calmness goes through me when I sit here in Reno watching the Truckee River flow by. It's the peace comes with us. Silence comes with us. It doesn't matter the environment you're in. You might be in the middle of traffic in the 101 in Los Angeles, and it still be a peaceful experience.
Right, because it begins within, right? I love what you said too about processing and practical. It is a process, and we process. We take the elements of the past and see how we can relate them to the present moment and allow them to evolve as we evolve, because that's really what it's all about, right? We're evolving into hopefully a greater sense of consciousness, beginning with ourselves.
Well, if you think about it in this way, we can add to that, is that we're learning from our ancestors because the ancestors experienced life. You know, they experienced life, they engaged life, they had their aha moments, they had their down times, and they put it into a symbol that was available to them at that time. That's why it sounds ancient or beautiful or whatever it is from that time, but it's still the ancestors telling us, hey, this is how I dealt with it. It might be relevant to you.
Right.
And when you see it from that point of view, these are instruments.
Exactly. They're instruments and tools that we can use to help us. It's really interesting. I was chatting with somebody who's very practical. You would never in a million years in a conversation with this person expect to hear them talk about the work of our ancestors or any of what others might deem, you know, woo-woo kind of thing. And in this conversation with him, he said to me, well, gosh, you know, Terry, when I get really, really stuck, I close my eyes and I call on the wisdom of my ancestors. And all of a sudden I have the information. And I got chills from head to toe listening to that, you know, to somebody that I would, again, in a million years, not have expected to hear that. And yet he found a way to bring in that practical wisdom and share it with his clients, his patients, anybody that was willing to hear it and still be able to accept that wisdom. It's really amazing.
Well, yeah, because it's humanity. We use our experience. We use our language that we use, but we're 7.5 billion human beings. We all live life in a unique way. If we think that spiritual people have to look a certain way, dress a certain way, and talk a certain way, then we've completely missed out on it because we're as diverse and as our point of view is diverse. So, you know, you can say that, you know, me and my brothers, when we were growing up, we didn't dress woo-woo. We dressed punk and goth and black right. and nail polish, listened to heavy metal. Like the example would be, my brother once was at a place where they wanted to do it like one of those little bowl ceremonies for him. So he lay down, they did the bowls and the woo and that kind of thing. And it was beautiful. Yeah, yeah. And then Jose at the end says, that was beautiful. Reminds me of a Ozzy Osbourne concert. And the lady says, starting to look like, what? What are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, well, here's what it means. Ozzy Osbourne has a song called Mama, I'm Coming Home. And at the concert, there's about several thousand people, quite a bit, more than several. So it's just quite a bit. And there's a part of the song that goes, Mama, Mama, I'm coming home, I'm coming home, long, and all about 40,000, 30,000 metalheads are singing home, and Jose hears it like, that's the ohm, they're doing the ohm, and it's amplified, and it's powerful, it's like, whoa, and that's how we see it. So when we pigeonhole something, when we think it should stay in this category, that category, otherwise, it's not that, then we're missing out, but when we see that we all are expressing our life in our own unique way. Spirituality is everywhere. That sense of spirit or connection with the essence of life is everywhere. And it looks different. It sounds different. It looks different. You know, when Facebook came up, I started friending some people and I used to post a lot of my music and people were shocked because I wasn't playing tribal drums or that kind of music. I was playing the Pesh Mode, the Cure, the Smiths, and things that the people were like, how can you call yourself spiritual? Listen to that kind of music. And, you know, it's like, no, it comes from the heart. When it comes from the heart, it's everything. It's just expression of life. And that's the kind of thing that we grew up with. You know, that's my generation. You know, we applied it, we learned it, and we see life in a way that is unique as we are unique. And when we have that, all of a sudden, we have a lot more teachers than we ever thought. We have teachers that are sharing with us not only the ways to live life or learn from life. We can learn humility. You know, we can learn what struggle is. Where we can know what strength is from paying attention to the people in our life. You know, we can learn a lot from our barista. We can learn a lot from the people working. Eight to nine hour jobs. We can learn a lot from the people who are doing their best with what they've got, and all of a sudden, life. You know, you can learn from Rocky Balboa. You know, stand up, and from that point of view, that is one thing my father always taught us. My grandmother did. You know, she said to us, "If you ever start doing the tradition exactly the way I'm doing it, then you're killing the tradition." You're killing our culture. You have to do it in a way that is relevant to you and your life. And that's going to look different. So, you know, you hear me and Jose or my dad ever talk, and all three of us teach in a totally different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because life taught us in a totally different way. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, we all have our own perceptions. Well, and something that you said there about, you know, honoring anybody in every walk of life reminded me of one of the chapters that I, or one of the pieces of wisdom that I read yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I happened to post it on my Facebook page, and it was about conditional love and unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, you know, starting with ourselves, and that if we can love ourselves unconditionally, we have no other alternative but to love the rest of the planet unconditionally.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, like, about the music and everything. If people would really listen to that stuff and hear the words instead of the anger and the sounds, and see the music for what it is, it's a masterpiece, and we're all masterpieces.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we can't give what we do not have. We are the constant in every relationship we're in. If we have conditional love for ourselves, then we've got nothing but conditional love to give.
Mm-hmm.
But if we begin to heal ourselves from the wounds that conditional love left in our life, then, and we begin to love ourselves just the way we are, accept ourselves just the way we are, then we get to share that, and we become the constant opportunity for unconditional love, because we are the constant in every relationship we are in.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point of view, unconditional love is the willingness to see life as is, which means we were willing to see ourselves as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful.
And it's okay. In my point of view. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, whether we look at ourselves in a particular way, physically, every inch of who we are is amazing and deserving of love. In that same piece of wisdom, you talk about the dream of the planet. And mm-hmm. in your traditions, what does that mean?
Our society, you know, the main function of the mind is to dream in our tradition. And to dream is to perceive and to project. So from my point of view, I perceive the world from this single point of view, which is my individual dream. The dream of the planet is as small as you and I. For example, the main function of your mind is to dream, and the main function of my mind is to dream. So when we come together, we create the dream of us. And it's the smallest portion of the dream of the planet, which is as big as 7.5 billion people. And it's still the dream of us. We'll leave the trees and the animals out of it because they know what they're doing.
More so than we do.
they're in their harmony, but the reason why we're not in a harmony is because we believe in lies. We believe in illusion. We believe in conditions that takes us not only away from nature, but it takes us away from ourselves. So from that point of view, the illusion or the dream of the planet is the creation of domestication or conditional love, and is created and consumed by the idea that agreements are truth or beliefs are true, where animals and plants only experience the truth of life.
Mm-hmm.
They experience the essence of life. They're in balance with life. They're in balance with our environment. We're in balance with our behavior. Our learned behavior. We get distracted by the conditions of what cool should be, what's in, what's not, what's spiritual, what's not spiritual. You know, as soon as we think spiritual, and we come up with an image, then we've already corrupted it. We've already distorted it. We already created an image of it. It's already an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
But when we let go of that and we see nothing but life, then we're in constant communion. So you can say the dream of the planet is the shared dream that we have. And that dream can be the perfect nightmare, or it could be the most harmonious dream. But it's still a dream, because it's the conversation of mind to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Life is, as you can say, is the engaging upon of heart to heart, you can say, of life to life.
I love that. Life is coming together at heart to heart. Well, Miguel, we are down to the wire. We only have about a minute left. Listeners, mm-hmm. I want to remind you that I've been talking with Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., and you can find all of his information here at the Soulful Living page on Empower Radio. We'll have his links to their work, their Facebook pages, anything that you need will be there. And you can find them. Miguel, what's your actual website?
Mine is miguelruizjr.com. That's miguelruizjr.com. Mm-hmm. But we consider my dad's page to be the home page, the family page, which is miguelruiz.com. That's our home base. We have awesome. Social media and all that kind of thing, but that's our home base.
All right. Well, I offer you a deep bow for joining me here today. And I love for my guests to leave the listeners with a quick thought they can take out into the day to elevate their soul. What would that thought be for you?
A moment of clarity without any action is just a thought that passes in the wind. But a moment of clarity followed by action becomes a pivotal moment in our life. Mm. In that moment of clarity, we see the truth. If we decide to continue to believe the illusion, then the illusion continues. But if we decide to let go, our life changes forever.
Boy, that one gave me chills from head to toe. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Terry.